Our text this morning from the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, and as Krista has already told us, Jesus going off on some crazy things. I swear if we listened to everything he did, the market economy would go down in flames. Starting with the 32nd verse. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out. An unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. You have to understand in the first century world how radical that would sound. The master putting on a belt and serving the slaves. Man, that just didn't happen. Didn't happen. But know this. If the owner of the home had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. And may God bless this reading and hearing of this holy word. In the awful days of apartheid in South Africa, probably one of the most awful, most notorious symbols of that system was the Robben Island prison just off the coast. This is the prison where they put Nelson Mandela and assumed they would never hear from him again, him and the leaders of the anti-apartheid, the black leaders of the anti-apartheid movement. Now, in those days, there was a young man in Johannesburg, a great admirer of Nelson Mandela, was able to get the makings of a bomb and, in the name of freedom, blew up a police station, injuring a number of people. He was arrested, freely admitted what he had done, and made it pretty clear he wanted to go, of all places, to Robben Island. Well, they obliged him and sent him there. And when he got there, you know, he was kind of, hey, man, look at me, I'm bad, man, I'm the one. I blew up the police station. I took some action for us. Pretty full of himself. Well, he received the amazing word that Nelson Mandela wanted to meet with him. So he went to the meeting. Mandela set him down, said, I know who you are, and I know what you did. And I'll tell you what. You ever do anything like that again, you will not be a part of the new South Africa. It says, we are building a new country. There will be a new day in our country of peace, justice, reconciliation. And violence and bombs will not be a part of that. And so if you cannot embrace our philosophy of nonviolent change, then there's no room here for you. Now, there are a lot of amazing things, I think, in that true story. But what really strikes me is that these words were spoken from Robben Island Prison, a hopeless, horrible place. They had put these men there, assuming they would never see them again. And what were they doing? Each and every day, plotting, planning, dreaming of a new land, a new day. The new dawn would come for South Africa. They would be a part of it. They waited, and in waiting, they were preparing. They didn't know when it would happen. But when it did, they would have a plan. They were not going to give in or give up. And incredibly, miraculously, when the day of freedom came, they were ready. And so asked Jesus, are you ready? Are you ready for the dawning of a new day? When it comes, will you be ready? Blessed are those who the master finds alert when he comes. You must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The waiting will end. A new day will dawn. In fact, might already be here. I once read that scientists have devised a game that proves how hard it is to notice something when you're expecting something else. It goes like this. They sit you down in front of a table, at a table, in front of an ordinary deck of cards, and they flash 6 of the cards at you, asking you to identify them as fast as you can. 9 of diamonds, three of hearts, jack of clubs. Wait, what was that one? So they repeat the exercise, slowing it down so you can get the ones you missed the first time. The third time they go so slowly, you think you must be an idiot because there's that one card you cannot identify. You think you know what it is, but you're not sure, and it is not until the cards are all laid face up on the table that you realize what the problem is. The mystery card is a 6 of spades, only it is red, not black. The deck has been fixed. Someone changed the rules. You could not see a red spade because everyone knows any card that is a spade is supposed to be black. Our expectations, our preconceived notions prevent us from seeing what is actually there. And I wonder if that's where Jesus is taking us in this text. Is he dealing us a red spade and asking, what do you see? Is he inviting us to see this same old world in all its pain and darkness and violence with new eyes? I recall once long ago, Bethany, our older daughter, was just an infant. We were living in Warren, Pennsylvania, and desperately wanted to get back to our families in Phoenix for Christmas night. We, of course, had a church service on Christmas Eve. We're going to travel on Christmas Day. Well, a major snowstorm developed on Christmas morning, and the little airport close to Warren closed. All flights canceled. Needless to say, we were not dreaming of a white Christmas that day. But we were told, if you can get to Cleveland, there's a flight leaving on the 26th. There's room. You can get to Phoenix on the 26th. Well, by then it was fairly late at night, but off we went in our red Volkswagen Beetle on Christmas night into the teeth of a blizzard. Hey, man, I'm from Phoenix. What do I know about driving in the snow, right? And, okay, we're both pretty young and pretty stupid back then. Now I'm just stupid, I guess. Well, incredibly, about an hour into our white-knuckle journey, we got behind a snowplow and slowly followed that plow all the way to the interstate, which was plowed, made our way to Cleveland, and indeed finally celebrated Christmas in Phoenix on December 26th. Well, thinking about that long ago midnight journey in the snow, I came across this reflection from author Frederick Buechner. And I realized that's not a bad description of what I was feeling that night, and I suspect what many of us might feel on dark nights. He says, "You have to make a long drive somewhere. It is winter and the snow is coming down heavily. The headlights catch the tumbling flakes a little way ahead of you, but otherwise all around you there's nothing you can see. The darkness is so complete that it seems less an absence of light than itself a presence. A darkness so dense and impenetrable, like the snow itself, that what little light you have on your own can barely survive in it. It is hard to believe it will ever be day again. There's no sky for the sun to rise in. There's nothing to get your bearings by, nobody to point you on your way or to reassure you. As you travel slowly into the night, it's as if the night travels slowly into you until the darkness without starts to become indistinguishable from the darkness within. Darkness piling up in you like snow. Daybreak is what in every sense you're hoping toward, the coming of light into every kind of darkness. Like an ancient pilgrim at the winter solstice, you feel that there's maybe nothing you would not be willing to give or do or be if only you knew what, just to make day come." I think Jesus understands that. He knows how much we all yearn for the light to come, for new day to come. He knows how uncertain our faith can be, how tenuous, how plagued with doubt. Because we never quite know, do we? We never quite hear. We never quite see. After all, in the darkness, we're all a little lost. As one pastor has said, there is doubt hard on the heels of every belief, fear hard on the heels of every hope, and many holy things lie in ruins because the world has ruined them and we have ruined them. But faith waits even so. Faith waits. I think of Nelson gotten at horrible, hopeless South African prison, waiting, hoping, believing, planning, preparing. Faith hangs in there. Faith never says never. Faith always dares to see above and beyond the normal and meager expectations of the world. No matter how deep the darkness, faith believes the dawn will come. In a Richard Nash play, Starbuck, the dreamer of dreams that almost never come true, complains to Lizzie about a world in which reality continues to fall far short of a man's vision. He says, "Nothing's as pretty in your hands as it was in your head. There ain't no world near as good as the world I got up here." "Why?" Lizzie says, "I don't know. Maybe it's because you don't take the time to see it. Always on the go, here, there, nowhere. Running away, keeping your own company. Maybe if you'd keep company with the world." He asks, "I'd learn to love it?" She says, "You might, if you saw it real." Some nights I'm in the kitchen washing dishes, and Pop's playing poker with the boys. Well, I'll watch him real close. And at first, I'll just see an ordinary middle-aged man. Not very interesting to look at. And then minute by minute, I'll see little things I never saw in him before. good things and bad things. Interesting little habits I never noticed he had. And ways of talking I never paid any mind to. And suddenly, I know who he is. And I love him so much, I could cry. And I want to thank God I took the time to see him real. Jesus is inviting us to see like that. And so he says, be alert, be ready, expect the unexpected. You never know when the moment will come when you're looking at something you've looked at all your life and suddenly you see it as if you've never seen it before. You see it real. The rays of the rising sun coming through the trees suddenly look like an iridescent peach. Look at sorrow in your neighbor's eye you'd never quite seen. Or your own face looking back at you in the mirror. Is that really me? Which is to say, you just never know when God might show up and enable you to see through, see into, see beyond what is going on into what is really going on. Because you just finally happened to be paying attention. And maybe that's why Jesus leaves us with what I find to be the curious image of God as a thief. The one who comes in the night, unexpectedly, surprisingly. You know, I've prayed to God the Creator, God the loving parent, God the nurturing spirit, God the giver of life. Can't think of a single time I prayed to God the thief. You think about the thief. Not a pleasant image. The one who violates one of our most precious illusions, that our homes are safe places. Where we can protect ourselves from the world and all its threats. Home is where we are well defended. The thief is the one with no respect for those defenses, the one who comes unexpectedly without warning and certainly without an invitation. God is the thief. The one who comes unexpectedly. Who breaks through our defenses, our assumptions, our preconceived notions, our expectations, our well-established views of reality and what is possible. For this is a thief who is not after our money or our jewels or our big screen TVs. This thief wants nothing less than us. Wants to break into our hearts and give us a new vision of what is real, what is possible. This is a God who does not play by our rules. This is the thief, the intruder, not to be kept out, interestingly enough, but to be invited in. The one who has come not to take, but to give and to bless, and who wants nothing more than to set us free, free from our misplaced fears and misguided defenses. Just never know when God's tender mercy will intersect with the frenzy and fretting of our anxious world and open before us a whole new way. And the only way to deal with a God like that is to be ready and awake so we do not miss the miracles, the renewal, the hope present each and every day of our lives. Watch out for the red spade. For even in the dark, light and love and life are there. Expect them. Be ready for them. For they're there. Always right there.